In our study of the Gospel of Matthew, which we are considering together at this particular time, we are thinking with you about the 19th verse of the 16th chapter, wherein you will recall the Lord Jesus Christ said unto Peter, "And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We have discussed with you the significance of the keys of the kingdom and what it means to bind and to loose. We will not have time to review what we have already said. We would remind you that outline studies in the Gospel according to Matthew are available to you without charge. All you need to do is write and make your request for them, and we will send them to you. Our mailing address is given at the conclusion of our study. When you do miss details such as that to which I have referred, you will find them in the outline study. As I say, time does not permit us to go over certain things several times. Today, we want to notice with you the times that Peter used the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Did Peter ever use those keys? Did Peter use them first? Was he the only one that used them? What can we find in the Word of God for the answer to our questions? May I suggest that you turn to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and notice the record of what is commonly referred to as the happenings on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached a sermon to the Jews. He told them how they had crucified the Lord of glory. He told them how they had turned their backs on the Messiah. And they ask a question because their hearts were convicted, and that question was, "What must we do to undo that which we have done?" And in verse 38, Peter answered and said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this selfish, stubborn generation." You are a part of the generation that has turned their back on the Messiah. Now, he said, you don't have to remain a part of that generation. You can make a difference. And so in verse 31, we read, "And they continued, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That is, there was added unto the church, the body of Christ, this number, 3,000 souls. What has this to do with the keys to the kingdom? How did Peter use his keys? Well, from this passage of Scripture, we realize that he used the keys to open the door to permit the Jews to come in to the kingdom of heaven. Peter exercised his authority, proclaimed the word of God, and permitted the Jews to come in because it had already been settled in heaven that the Jews should receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It was settled in heaven that that would be the procedure, and Peter exercised that authority which had already been declared. For you will remember, in discussing the matter of binding and of loosing, we said that according to the grammatical text, the binding and the loosing was simply affirming something that already had been decided in heaven. It was not a suggestion that poor, puny, mortal man could open the doors to the kingdom of heaven or to anything else. Peter used the keys then the first time when he opened the door, preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel. If you will now, notice with me what is found in the Acts of the Apostles. And remember, as we look there at that passage, that Cornelius, a Gentile, had become familiar with truth, and he wanted more truth. He was a good man, but he was an unsaved man, and Peter was instructed by God to go to the house of Cornelius in Caesarea Philippi and declare to him the truth, that is, to open the door. Open the door, Peter. Use your key for the Gentiles. And in verse 44 of this 10th chapter of the Acts, after Peter had preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, that is, the Jews were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because, and this is what astonished them, that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been poured out on them on the day of Pentecost, and now, lo and behold, Peter preached the same kind of message in a Gentile household, and God honored his word and sent the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, just as they had done on the day of Pentecost. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, but other things had to be done. What have we read? We have read that Peter used the keys once again. The door to the Gentiles was opened. In the summary of these events, which you will find in chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles, wherein we read that James declared that Peter had told us how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Peter was given the Jews, was given the keys, rather, to the kingdom of heaven, and he used them to proclaim the gospel to the Jews and to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, what about the use of the keys any further? Were these keys used to any other degree? Peter had the privilege of using them first in opening the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But were they used any more? Are they to be used at any other time? They are indeed, and we will be able to notice exactly how they were used if we notice the responsibilities and privileges of people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Remember what was written in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, verses 21 and 23. You will recall that the apostles were told that those whose sins they forgave would be forgiven, and whose sins they did not forgive would not be forgiven. And the grammatical construction to which we have already made reference in previous studies emphasized the fact that you and I have the privilege and the responsibility of using the keys to the kingdom, just as Peter did, use the keys in declaring the gospel, because the gospel is what opens and closes doors. And that is the reason why the Apostle Paul said, "Believers, I have become a savor of life unto life, and a savor of death unto death to others." And he had, of course, when he used that figure of speech, in mind the march of the conqueror as the conqueror went back to Rome, incense burning before him as he led the captives through the triumphal arch. Some of them would live, some of them would die, and the incense that was burning would be a savor of life to those who were going to live, the savor of death to those who were going to die. And the gospel, Paul said, is just that. Every man who hears the gospel is without excuse. Once I have preached the gospel to you, as I have tried faithfully to do, yea, these many years, I have opened the door. I have used the keys. The opportunity to be saved is yours. And this is true of any believer who witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a thought, a very solemn thought, that brings to my mind. Listen to the words again, whose sins you retain shall be retained unto them. What does that mean? Simply this, men will die in their sins if I do not proclaim the gospel. What a solemn responsibility for the preacher and for the layman, so-called, for the individual who is charged with the responsibility of preaching the word. Now, there was another illustration, you will recall, of the use of the keys. In chapter 18, we notice, this is the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we notice the words, whatever you loose, whatever you bind, shall be bound in heaven. And if we examine that passage in the light of its context, we will discover that it is connected with discipline among believers. And what did Paul say? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God has given you, friend, as a believer, another key. I call it the key of discipline. You, if there is an erring brother, should know your Bible well enough to go to him and use the key to open the truth and say, my brother, on the authority of the Word of God, you are not permitted to do this thing that you are doing. You are forbidden to do it. And as the truth is presented to that brother through your faithful witness, the key is used once again. And you are following the exhortation of the Savior that we all ought to heed. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, notice, hath given to us, the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us, notice, to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And with that message I leave you today, my friend. Do make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.